You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
Yeah, there it is. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 5, Episode 5, aptly titled All Shot to Hell. I'm John Comerford. Joining me is Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
Steve Bottomley.
Hey there.
Matt Lieberman.
Hey.
And in the booth is Marissa Serafini. Thank you, Marissa.
Hello, everyone.
I want to jump right in. It's so good to see Art out of the Marshall's office. He's out in the field. He's great in the field. I love him.
He's always entertaining. He's even more entertaining when he's in the field.
Oh, my God. And they never give him a bad line. I don't know if it's this the way they write him or just the way that he delivers it, but I could listen to him all day.
Nick Searcy is just like one of those screen presences that's just so fun to watch. He could do anything, and I'd have fun watching.
Even the way he was chewing his gum.
Yeah, puffing on that cigar with his turnaround baseball hat. Cap. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm like, I want to go to his place and watch football or something. Absolutely. I don't even watch football.
I do.
One of the 120 million that joined us.
Yeah, yay Seahawks. Woo. Right. Okay, move on.
I think it's just an amazing combination that they have, a lucky combination to have those writers and that actor.
Yes.
And they utilized him so well today, and it was just so much fun. And he kind of got his own episode. I'm really glad.
I know,
that,
he did.
Well, I was noticing how little Raylan was actually in this episode. Yeah. You know, but it was really definitely Art's episode.
Does that anybody want to bring up last week when we were talking about is Art going to get his own series too?
Right.
I would be so down to watch that. Just intensely down.
I got a funny tweet from one of our listeners who said that he, because we talked about could there be a spinoff, like you said.
Yeah.
And he said, I think the spinoff is, and I can't remember his name, I can't look it up on my phone right now, but it is Art gets in trouble, loses his pension for trying to clean up Raylan's mess.
Ooh.
And then he and Constable Bob start up a PI office and hilarity ensues.
Art and Bob.
So there you go.
If only it's
Thank
just
you,
like
fan.
Super 80s and it's just Harlan Vice.
Yeah.
And
Harlan Vice!
Yeah, and like it's like it wants to be cool, but it's too sweaty and they're too old. And oh my God, I would watch the hell out of that.
Yes!
They drive like a pimped out like Pacer.
Yeah.
You know?
Or it's just a BJ
Gremlin,
and the
right?
Bear remake.
It was
a
gremlin,
like
it was a gremlin or a pacer.
Yeah.
They both have their go bags ready.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack would be amazing.
Oh, it would be.
We'll get Michael
so
Mann
awesome.
To direct it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why not?
All right.
Hashtag spinoff for Art and Constable Bob.
Yeah. Hashtag Harlan Vice.
Yes.
Yes.
Harlan Vice. Here we go. Write that down. Here we go. Okay, so let's get into this episode with Art, you know, the showdown right away with Marcos.
Yeah.
They had him coming in just kind of goofy, like, hey, hey, hey. And then when he shifted into basically saying, okay, this is something. Not only did he get to do that wonderful shift, but the music underneath was just this, like, ominous. They just played him so well in this episode. Just
When he was talking to the waitress and he's like, just stay calm, but as quickly as you can, get everyone out of this place. And then, you know, Marcos grabs her and he's like, no, you sit down right where you are. I'll blow your head off. And he just 100%, I mean, he was bluffing, but he had control of the situation. You know, as he put it later, it was pure Raylan, you know, gunslinger Givens, you know, classic gunslinger Givens. And I even love the way he played it outside. Like, he's such a pro. He knows that Marcos is looking out for Picker the same as he is. You know, he gets a picture of him. He completely just, like, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Oh,
he's on top of it.
From the get-go with his, do you often stay in a car for an hour before you go into another? I'm just letting him know that, okay, I've been watching
this
for an hour.
I know all kinds of things about
I know
you.
It, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just, but he's so likable that you can't really get too pissed off at him.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I kept waiting for him to flash either a gun or a badge.
Yeah, it never did.
Never did.
Yeah, and
that
he
had to be a choice. That had to be a choice.
Yeah.
In the room when they were writing this, go no, you know
he doesn't need to because you know he does it with his presence. And he also uses the same thing as well. I could go all official on you. He did that twice, was it? Maybe even three times in this episode?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, okay, so that's his little thing.
And again, it's like we were talking about earlier, Raylan operating outside the law a little bit.
And I was excited just to get Alan Tudyk in this universe, and he was so well used here. I love him. He's such a likable actor, and to see him playing this, like, you know, really serious, hard hitman, you know, was really cool. It was cool to see him play against type.
It was very surprising to see him come back into the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
When they took that turn, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Is there not going to be a shootout in the diner here?
Especially with the way they started it.
Yeah.
You know, they
kind of escalate.
Oh, my God. So I'm like, okay, there's going to be a lot of – and the only person not worried about it?
Wynn Duffy.
Exactly. Can I order him?
Does anybody mind if I order?
And since we just mentioned Alan's name, let everybody know what name he used.
He has a pseudonym. We can talk about it more in News and Gossip, but he was credited as Ray Nerely, WRAYNERELY.
So he's using a pseudonym for this particular. We'll get into that News and Gossip for some reason.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hmm. So for anybody who was looking at the credits and didn't see Alan's name, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, very interesting.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. Okay. So in the diner. And what a great scene. We got the four guys there. We got Wynn. We got Picker.
Mikey.
Mikey had a nice
The night. Like little snippet of conversation that we got before Art walks up where what is it like when Wynn Duffy's having a good time? We've never seen that before because he's usually in his like sociopathic cone of silence where he's just creepily, intensely fixated on something. And he's just like, no, and she was like, whatever. I don't remember the exact line, but he was just having a ball. I'm like, I want to watch, Wynn Duffy's off hours. That's
because we only see him when Raylan's out. We barely see him.
Well, you rarely see him with good news coming.
That's true. And in this case, he got bad news again. He didn't get to order his eggs. He didn't get to order his bacon.
Well, and another great Wynn Duffy line when Art says, if you don't do what I want you to do in 30 seconds, I'm going to shoot you. You know, that is kind of a thing with these guys.
The FYI line.
FYI.
With these marshals.
FYI, that's kind of a thing with these marshals.
I was really hoping in one of the post interviews that they explained whose idea it was for Rush on the Radio. While he's listening to the, while he's sitting in the,
Rush Limbaugh.
He's from Kentucky. That's what the explanation is.
But I thought it was just really, really interesting that.
Did we say more?
It doesn't surprise me that Art would, lean
daytime,
that way. But, but I just thought, that's.
Daytime talk radio.
I did not envision him listening to NPR.
No.
No,
there just seemed to be a lot of very specific choices they made. In presenting Art in this episode that I just thought was fascinating.
Filling out his character, especially as, and I don't want to skip ahead to the end of the episode, but we have this kind of looming conflict, that stems even as far back as earlier in the season when he went up to Detroit and that he doesn't entirely trust Raylan. We want to really know who this guy is outside of his role as Raylan's boss so we can better understand what he'd do outside of that office. He's also coming to the end of his career.
Yeah,
right.
8 months.
Yeah. Right.
According to Vasquez, eight months before retirement.
They made a point of mentioning that.
Yeah. Right, and just thinking.
As soon as he said 8 months, I'm like, oh, damn, Art's going to die.
Right, and that's and Graham Yost talked about that in the post-interview.
Oh,
he goes, we kind of dangled that in front of people because that's what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if next season is going to be the last months of Art's, before Art's retirement, or is Art going to retire before next season finishes? I wonder.
I just figured that was
they're putting a time limit on it because there's a time limit on the show, and so that's what we see happening.
Interesting.
Art's last day smoking another stogie is the finale.
Mm-hmm. No, on the last day he's going to go, all I got to do is get through this one day.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're just going to be surrounding him with pillows like all day. Just don't let him out of the office. Just keep him comfy. Keep him
cushioned. Don't even let him answer the phone.
And he has to have a guard.
Yes.
Or three.
Or 3,000. Jeez.
Going back to the diner real quick, just when Art was having just lines like, harass, I thought it was being genial.
Yeah.
And then when he said that line to Picker about Sammy Tonin and the look he got from Picker, the way he was just...
he's just
reeling
so
it in
charge.
Just letting okay, I know more than you think I do.
He did such a good job of balancing that, goofy with that intimidating, especially when Marco says, you think you're fast enough?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm old,
but I think I got a pretty good shot from here.
Yeah.
That's that whole sort of, right after, like, this is how you want to do it, he just It was wonderful.
Well, it's very interesting, especially when you contrast it, the way that Art displays power and how he shows that he's in charge with the ways that Boyd and Daryl mm-hmm. show that they're in power.
And even, Danny did as well.
And the way that Danny does, and the way that Raylan does, you know, and the way that Marcos does. You know, everybody has their own style. Yeah. You know, Boyd's is through surprise and intelligence. Daryl's is through, you know, I don't care what you do. I'm going to do what I want. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't control me. You can't expect something from me. And, you know, Raylan just goes off of sheer charisma.
Yeah, Raylan always gives him enough rope.
Yeah.
Because he knows what they're going to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his comes from, I'm always going to be one step ahead.
Mm-hmm. Raylan always does the thing. Like, just remember, I gave this chance when it came.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, Art's, there was no question about who had power in that scene and in that diner. So.
And then of course, when Marcos was talking to Picker, he starts speaking Greek.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's like, whoa. Okay. And
I don't, just enough words.
Yeah, just to
the
let
whole
it know.
Family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Damn it, where's Maria when we need her to translate for us?
Yeah. Anybody get that? I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm a little light on my Greek, sorry.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
But still, very serious threat. And yeah, that's, you know, how Marcos shows that he's in power in a situation. It's the threat of who he works for and what he's been tasked with doing, mm-hmm. what he's capable of doing. You know, Art, you can see what he's lifted from Raylan, but he's very much using, you know, his brain and his position and showing it off, not in an aggressive way, mm-hmm. but in a very casual way, so casual it's scary.
Yes, and worked so perfectly because even Wynn said, no, you're going for the walk.
Yeah,
go.
Right.
Just, you know. And he ended
remember,
up in,
he
and they
was
got
actually,
what they needed from
he
him.
Was going after Picker to talk about Raylan.
Well, I don't know if he was going specifically to talk about Raylan.
I think that's why he never pulled anything. Yeah. I think that's why he never went official because he didn't. He was going there to figure out if Raylan was the guy.
Well, to confirm who was the guy. I'm sure he has his suspicions. Right. I don't know if he actually thinks it had to be Raylan or it must have been. And I'm going to.
Well, it sure seemed like they were pimping, like, you know.
Yeah.
He knew,
I feel like Tim and Rachel play so, you know, so by the book, so very, you know.
Yes.
They're, with the exception of Tim kind of going off the rails a little bit, investigating the death of his friend last season, they play by the rules far more than Raylan ever does. Raylan's the source of most of his headaches.
Sure.
So, you know, why...
but it could have been any federal officer. My point is it doesn't have to be a marshal. I mean, let's face it.
They didn't say marshal?
No, they always said a fed.
They said a fed. Okay.
And they pinned it on Barkley, who was a Phoebe. So, and, you know, people are going to buy that.
Yeah.
So,
especially because they don't know where he is.
Well, he's missing. Sorry, he's
missing.
Yeah.
So a couple episodes ago, when the FBI from Detroit called him and said, "You better come up," that was only to talk to William Salt. They didn't have any information as far as who it was specifically.
They just knew it was just Fed.
Just a federal. So in Sammy's
obviously, pocket. Art begs the question: then why would they call the marshal's office if they don't know what branch it is?
Well, because Art talked to him first. He said, "If you do you know anything about the Art's the one that brought that up to the FBI guy."
All right.
So that's why he called Art back. So I obviously
you need a flow chart for this show.
I mean,
it's true.
He has every reason to suspect that it was Raylan. I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure deep down he probably goes, "Yeah, it probably was him." And you know, now I got to either protect him or figure out what's up. But I'm sure most of him wants to just pleading like crazy, please not be him. Don't be me. Don't be him.
You know, you like to think he was trying to, you know, just make sure it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
He just had to quiet the voice in the back of his head.
But even at the end of the last sequence, when we're at the end of the show now, when they're in the scene where they're in Art's office and Vasquez is, you know, kissing his ass, and he says, "Oh, by the way, did you hear who they said it was?" And of course, Vasquez gives up that Picker said it was Barkley. Just the look that. You know, that
or exchange between Art and Raylan. Yeah.
And when there was nothing said, Art's going, "Okay, I know it wasn't Barkley, and I'm looking at you."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going, Raylan saw that, and has to be the reason why Raylan said something.
I know, but I was stunned.
I was
stunned.
That he did.
Why?
Yeah. Right.
Why? That was the thing. I'm going, why?
Not why. Because he knew that he knew his jig was up. He couldn't handle lying to him any further. But I was so impressed that he didn't try to dig his way out and instead is facing what he did.
But he did it in a little bit of an evasive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gave himself an out. He didn't say, "I did it,"
or
"I was there." He said, "I know it wasn't him for a fact."
Yeah.
You know,
I saw that as the guy, as his son having to confess to the dad.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always seen Art as kind of the surrogate dad to Raylan. Going,
what's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, if he, that look, and he knows at that moment that Art knows, what's
because I think Raylan, the way he works is I have to clear the air with people around me that I care about. You know, I don't want this hanging over. You know the truth. I know the truth. So let's, you know, let's clear it out.
But once he said, now, if he says it, then he puts Art in a worse position
because yes,
now he's like, and I'm going, why would you do that to Art?
Plausible deniability.
Well, at the moment, yes, it's all, it's covered. It's on Barkley. It's not me. Art's not incriminated in any way.
Barkley's not here to say any otherwise.
Exactly. Right. So, and Art isn't under any kind of,
he's not compelled
to say anything. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
So it's like, well, don't shut up.
Maybe that's where the line gets blurred a little bit with Raylan. You know, where he, you know, it's not your dad. He's still your boss.
Because it's one thing that colleagues you can know, but you don't have to talk about it. And right, you just, if you say something, you put Art in a bad spot, a worse spot than he's in now.
Well, we know from, you know, Coming Attractions, he takes it well.
Yeah.
There's no issue.
No.
That's true.
They're not going to be slugging it out in a bar somewhere in the middle of the rain.
I think part of it is, you know.
For those
pardon
of you
me.
Know.
Wow. Is that your Amazon delivery?
Yeah. Tammy suffering from
Amazon Prime
allergies?
Delivery with a drone.
With a drone. Right,
so that's
drone
known as
her,
yeah,
her so, thing. So anyway.
Right. So the other part I want to talk about, but we got Art and Raylan going out there, guns a-blazing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the warehouse looking
to the warehouse.
Yeah,
exactly,
against
Marcus
this massive, like, I know it's not like a 50 caliber, but it looked at these drum magazines. It looked almost like a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
This
oh
massive combat shotgun.
Okay, before you get to that.
Okay.
You just know that when that actor walked on the set that day and saw,
yeah,
in props,
I get to play with this.
That's mine.
Yeah, yeah. This massive auto shotgun, yeah.
Gungasm. Right. Is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
All right. So I, of course, who doesn't love a good shootout scene?
Yes.
But it drove me crazy because I was going, wait a minute, this guy's supposed to be the Praetorian guard that Theo Tonin has.
Right.
And this is how he sneaks up. He doesn't even sneak up on him. He blows the first shot.
Yeah.
He's not that good. If,
nope,
if he blows the first shot, that really pissed me off.
Why that?
Because it could have been so much smarter and better. I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah.
They can't find him anywhere. Geez, unless he's been here the whole time. Well, if he's been there the whole time and they haven't found him, how come he's not better at sneaking up at them getting
That's
a good drop
on him?
That's a really good point.
They've shown.
And he didn't come in because otherwise he didn't just come up, you know, stumble across him.
Didn't.
Otherwise
he
wouldn't have had that big old rival with him.
I'll throw a theory out
there. All right, go ahead.
One of my favorite hobbies is filling in holes.
Okay.
In television shows.
Okay.
The fact is, Elmore Leonard had a penchant for having criminals who accidentally bungle their enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that the shot went off by accident. That
he was
putting the drum in, clicking it into place, getting ready to take the shot, hand slips, misses the first shot. Oh, crap, and then just starts firing.
Much like in Out of Sight, the guy trips on
exactly.
the steps.
Exactly. Right.
That'd be fine, but show us that, because that'd be fun.
Fine.
You are basing this on the first snap of the Super Bowl, aren't you?
I am basing this on my hopes, my dreams.
I didn't watch. You had a theory, too.
Yeah. Well, I had my first theory was they have him, every time you see him, they have his eyes all red. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks like an addict.
He's super strung out.
But
yeah.
The problem is, you're only as good as the people around you. If Theo is this huge crime boss. Mm-hmm. He's not going
he's
to
not
have
that
these
guy.
Flunkies around him. I mean, they're certainly not going to do drugs. The other thing is, they showed he uses a silencer.
Yeah.
If you're sneaking around, I would think you would.
Where's your silencer? Exactly.
And the last thing that I caught was you would also know exactly which bin your boss is sitting in. So maybe they run behind that one.
Yeah.
Don't fire.
Right.
You know, even if there's like a little X somewhere. I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and I just wish they had a smarter way into that gunfight because it could have been.
Had they had a smarter, like, if they showed, like, man, the guy's off the rail and, like, you know, whatever.
Because all he had to do is just stand there and Art just goes, oh, crap.
Oh, right.
That would have been great.
Because he was totally intimidated by that gun.
Yeah, we had already had the showdown earlier in the diner. If he had just stood there in his black coat and you don't know what was, you know, where his hands were.
Right.
And you just see the look on it. That would have been amazing.
That would have been rad. I would have liked it. I love all of Steve's points.
You know, I understand. I understand why
and
they
Tamara.
Needed to use the big gun.
It had
to go through. It had to hit Theo. It had to do all of that stuff. But I agree. The setup
Yeah, but how cool would it have been if they just turned the corner, or just Art just turns the corner, and then there he is standing there with the big gun.
Now, it would have worked great because we know that Raylan is a fast draw.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We know that this guy has already said, "Do you think you're that good?"
Yes.
It would have been awesome if they both drew and...
Something exactly.
Art was a little slow. Exactly. Maybe they even got winged a little bit.
Because you still could have had all the crazy bullets flying everywhere. Now, you could have had all that stuff, and it would have been.
And then when Raylan says, "And could you please take some time at the gun range?"
Yeah, that would have made
it
more
all
sense.
Would make a lot more sense. You would have paid off everything.
Oh, they never listen to us, do they?
Hey, this is all really good fodder, and I would not be surprised if they pick that up later on in the season. Because here's the thing. I mean, if things go the way that the next episode looks like they may go, we may get Raylan and Art drawn down on each other before long.
My God. That would be sad.
That would be really sad. Yeah. I don't want us to get pushed to that point, but I'm just saying that all of what you're saying is far too convincing to not go anywhere, and we're talking about how Art may be doomed because he's about to finish his whole, you know, his whole career. I'm just saying, he should go to the gun range.
Go to Glencoe.
You know, if they just pull pistols and then scatter, and then they have a little chatter back and forth, right? And then he turns the corner with that big-ass gun.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
That's
all kinds of
fun.
Game on.
I got a thought. Timothy Oliphant is doing this, you know, Omaze thing. Yeah, maybe Nick Searcy, a.k.a. Art, needs to go to the gun range.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, so the raffle the that they're
doing
on
the Tamri's talking about the raffle that they were doing.
Yeah, that's one of the guns you get to shoot?
Yeah.
That big old thing?
Need to buy your $10 ticket, don't you?
Can you imagine what the target is?
Someone's got a gun boner.
Gun gauge them.
All right. So let's go to the little sub-story with Raylan, the showdown between Raylan and Picker. Stephen, you had a very interesting thought on that. Go ahead.
Picker's in the conference room, and
Art brought him in, and they can't get any information from
him. And Raylan says, "I need time alone."
Yeah, I love this theory.
And I think it's pivotal because I think that's the first time we've actually seen Raylan say, "I know I work outside the law. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a bad guy, and you know I'm a bad guy." In so many words, basically what he copped to for the first time that I remember is he's always stepped just up to the edge, right?
Well, he's never really outright admitted to anybody or anything.
But this was different. This is when he actually laid down a threat. Yeah. You were mentioning earlier that he laid down a specific
threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not according to him, it wasn't a threat.
Yeah.
Just an observation.
But it was certainly a shift in his position he acknowledged to someone else.
Yeah. It was him applying pressure to survive and to stay out of jail instead of applying pressure to carry out justice.
Right.
You know, even when he's doing things outside of the law, they're always in the name of justice.
Correct.
With the one exception of helping Winona out of hot water and the Sammy Tonin business. But even, or the Nicky Augustine business. Yeah. But even then, that was protecting his family. This is a criminal. This is the first time that he's like, look, if you try to pin me down here, I will end you. I can end you, and I will.
And also, like we said at the beginning of that sequence where he says, you know, Picker's talking about, I know you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And he goes, we met once or twice. You have no idea what I'm thinking. Or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just to let him reinforce one more thing, the only thing you know is what you witnessed me do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and Raylan brought up he did not, normally he talks around things, right? Mm-hmm. He talks around it like he did with Art, you know, I know for a fact. With this guy, he said spot on. Yeah. I know you can blackmail me. Mm-hmm. The reason you can blackmail me
is what you've seen me do.
Is because what have you seen me do? So I mean, that's also a different you know persona for him.
Yeah,
the line got blurred, and they don't write by accident in this series, so that's coming back,
right? And combined with the fact that next season is the last season, it brings us to a very interesting and very deep point, which is what is blowing my mind right now, Steve, is you go all the way back to the pilot when he's standing outside of Winona and Gary's house, and Winona tells him, Raylan, you're the angriest man I've ever met.
Right.
And we've seen him push further and further against this line, blurring it more and more each season until last season he has this, you know, very powerful mob enforcer executed, and he effectively becomes a kingmaker for Detroit. He picks Sammy over Nicky, and he directly influences what's going on in the Detroit mob. He's never been so far into the criminal element, and now his career may very well be in jeopardy, and we may see, you know, this darkness in Raylan, this anger completely unleashed without a badge to protect it.
And unmasked, and because he's so affable now, and he's like, he's got, you know, and
but
it's always
he's
hidden.
Still, he comes from a criminal background. When he loses his badge, if he loses his badge, what kind of person does he become? And it puts him even further contrast
how does
to Boyd.
How does he bastardize the badge?
Yeah.
You know, they're also starting to play up that he is now really focusing on a specific group. He's focusing on the crows. Mm-hmm. You know,
and an obsession.
He's always kind of like, I got this mess we call Harlan, I got to keep clean. And there's these nuisances.
And Boyd's doing the same thing. He tells Mara, you get out of town, never come back. And this is the same ploy that, you know, Raylan's doing with crows. Mm-hmm. He wants them out of Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
They're just using different ways. And it's one just has a badge and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
Going back to Cain and Abel. The brothers again.
Mm. They shifted them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm really, really excited to see what season six looks like because we're calling into question everything that we know about Raylan and about what this series is supposed to be. And it hints at a larger arc of change that has been happening so subtly that we didn't even notice it until right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really shaping up to have this very explosive and revealing sixth season.
Right, and it's really interesting because we talked about this a lot last season with this baby being born, or potentially being born, how that was going to change Raylan and he was going to become the man unhinged, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's with such different motivation that it's, you know, it's exciting / terrifying to see where he's going to go with it.
Yeah.
Because it's a similar road, but with a completely different motivation. And it'll be interesting. It really will.
Wait, I'd love to hear everybody else's theories about that. Not only ours here, but anybody listening and
please do.
Commenting.
It kind of feels like the beginning of this season, they kind of cleared a lot of stuff out. Mm-hmm. And basically said, okay, guys, we're on the end run here.
Yeah.
We're giving you two seasons, and this is going to be a two-season arc of everything.
Yeah. Right. And it's all come down to this. And I agree with John. You know, we love to hear your theories. One of the best ways you could do that, you go to iTunes, slap the show with a rating. We love five-star ratings here at AfterBuzz TV because we try to put out five-star products.
Yes, we do.
It's 100% free. You can watch it, stream it on any of your devices. It's pretty amazing, the future that we live in. But here's the thing, folks. You know, you get to watch this show for free. You get to listen to this show for free. We do it out of the love for the show, goodness of our heart. What could you do if you're feeling in a giving mood to give back? We don't want any of your money. We don't even want to use up that much of your time. It takes just a second. Go to iTunes, slap the show with a rating, give us a review. It's the only way that we know that we're doing our job, first of all. And we like to know that we're doing it well. It lets our bosses know that we're doing a great job. And it directly affects how searchable this show is on iTunes. And that's the most important thing for us as we're trying to put out a great product. We want the most people to see it possible. So go to iTunes, slap us with a rating, give us a comment. We want to be the number one Justified show on the web, number one show on AfterBuzz TV. Yeah. I don't think it's that hard because Justified's such a great show.
Absolutely.
Right. Boom.
We really should ask for money because seriously, we could get some.
No, we're good.
Well, speaking of the money thing, all that Kendall needs is a dime.
Yeah,
can't even get a dime for the cocoa.
A thin dime. I loved that.
And the only person that's willing to supply it is Raylan.
It really kind of threw back to the old like 50s. Here's a dime kit, you know, the cop just, you know, taking care of the kids sort of thing. And the clothes
way back to Mean Joe Green giving a shirt to the kid.
Right? Wow, thanks, Mean Joe.
Yeah.
One
thin dime.
Of course, all he has to say is how it comes from the septic.
Yeah.
He's a crow.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's question about that because let's carry that storyline. Well, let's look at the end of that storyline once he realizes what happens. I mean, he changes his shirt. The whole thing, that is interesting. But just when Danny does that whole bit with Jean-Baptiste,
look
on poor Kendall's face, I think until then, I don't know if he's ever witnessed the murder before. I mean, I'm guessing he never has, just the way that happened.
Or at the very least, a murder of a friend and trusted confidant.
Yeah, I mean, he might have seen a dead body or two, but I don't, I mean, who knows? We don't know what Kendall, but the way he looked, and I think at that moment he realized, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be here.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We were talking in the room before, just as we were coming in, that what was that scene about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Danny and the Haitian and Kendall. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing was to show how, what was the word you used? Like a loose cannon.
Danny is. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of an echo to the Bennetts and their whole relationship dynamics that we saw in season two, where, you know, Danny isn't just some enforcer. He isn't backup. He's somebody who, you know, he doesn't have the intelligence of Daryl, mm-hmm. But he's got a real mean streak and he's got a lot of pride. And the one thing that I think that was important for that to show is that, you know, Daryl may have a strong head on his shoulders and he may have, you know, a plan for what these crows are going to do, putting down roots in Harlan. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have his family in check.
No.
And Kendall is unfortunately, you know, seeing the brunt of this abuse that Daryl might not even know about because Kendall doesn't have the courage to tell Daryl of the kind of physical and emotional abuse that Danny is putting over
inflicting on.
I also think it speaks to what we were talking about last week in terms of the whole family issues that they're bringing into this. Because here, you know, Wendy says, look, you know, you got to find a place for him to put his head, you know, because she recognizes this is a horrible place for him to be as well.
And, really?
You know, yeah.
Bar and a whorehouse?
You know, Daryl says,
with
no.
With stale smells?
It would be fine if you were here to watch things because I can't take care of this. It's like herding cats, which is, you know, the loose cannon thing, all that other stuff. But I think that just reiterates that. Because he's like, I'm forgetting her name at the moment. We saw her. The 16-year-old with
Loretta
the pod.
Loretta.
Loretta. Yeah. I mean, he's headed.
He's another person that the system is kind
him?
Of failing.
They've hit a beat a few times where Danny just kind of rides Kendall.
Yeah.
Well,
when
as
we met,
back,
right, yeah, when we met them in the first episode was the firecracker thing.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, bugging him about his shirt.
Yep.
You know, throws a knife or brings a knife at him and teases him.
He's
and
like,
a lot
what,
of
are
stuff.
You better than us?
Also, Kendall was involved in the conversations last week where Daryl said, you all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Danny might not have even thought that Kendall has never seen a shooting since he's so kind of involved.
Mm-hmm. And
but
self-involved?
Yeah, but they're going to – they're setting something up. The way that they're setting that dynamic.
Again, I don't think they did it by accident.
No.
They stayed on him, that look on Kendall's face. I don't think it was just to manipulate us.
But they're showing Kendall as a really strong kid. You know what to do.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
Until
you know?
Then, and then it's like,
he was shaken.
So kind of a mirror image of Dewey. Of like, this is getting out of where I, you know, this was fun and now it's not fun.
Dewey is someone who put on the trappings of this life without being able to back it up with actions or beliefs. Kendall is somebody who has no choice but to be there. He'd rather be wearing that nice shirt and be in that foster home.
And drinking cocoa.
Right, which none of us, I think, considered when he offered to leave with Raylan last week.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're like, okay, he's just trying to avoid bloodshed. But I
think he was maybe
looking for a better life.
Looking for a way out because, you know, the way Danny didn't go and get the food, he probably is starving half the time. He's, you know, forced to do whatever they need him to do. He's just a hired hand for this, you know, criminal enterprise. And he's seen a lot of things no kid should see.
Exactly.
You know, he's not.
It's like indentured servitude.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, we may see that may be the linchpin in turning Kendall against his own family, and he's going to be someone who's going to become very important to Raylan as he crusades to get rid of the crows.
Because he gave him a dime.
Because he gave him a dime. The only man who could give him a dime is the only man who can also give him his freedom.
Oh, look at that.
Isn't
that
warm?
God.
Couldn't you drench some pancakes in that syrup?
Oh, I thought it was also interesting that Allison calls Raylan out, you know, for starting a fire.
Yeah.
You know, Raylan's, again, he's doing it. No, I'm just trying to help a kid. And I think he was trying to help a kid, but obviously he was trying to start the fire, too.
Ulterior motives.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Divide and conquer. Get rid of him. You know, see what happens. Shake the tree. All that kind of stuff. But Allison calling him on that, and that, I think, goes right back to the whole thing about the angry man thing. I think he doesn't even see it's happening.
Yeah.
Did Baptiste get shot?
Tamara. As soon as it happened, I was going, why would you kill Jean Baptiste?
Right.
Why kill the Haitian?
I thought he was
going to
be this.
I wanted him to get his.
I was excited. He was finally had lines.
Oh, by the way, right before he got shot, He was just basically being Raylan.
Yeah.
He,
oh, yeah.
Let's play that game.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go
called,
right now.
Yeah,
what do you call Danny? He's being all nice and friendly.
And I find I was going, yeah, good. Shut Danny up.
Anyway, right. So the game that they're talking about, the 21-foot
rule,
is, you know, that if you're within 21 feet of someone, a knife can beat a gun.
Right. That's what Danny's.
So, so that's, yeah, they've played that one before.
Yeah.
So Graham Yost said that. He said, listen, we make our best efforts early on in the season as we hire actors to come on the show, and we can't always guarantee them what's going to be – what they're going to be doing or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce this name.
Eddie Gathegi.
Eddie,
yeah.
Oh, all right. Eddie Gathegi was a big get for us, but the character just wasn't panning out for him. He didn't see where it was going, and even though we were thinking that Jean-Baptiste would survive until toward the end of the season, Eddie wasn't enjoying the journey. We had no contract on him, and then they said, well, let's kill him off in episode 5.
There you go.
They gave him a great way to go.
Yeah,
it was a fun death scene.
We had a couple of great death scenes this week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we had a really good high. I mean, Lee Paxton, he's now dead.
Now I don't know if it's age or I don't know if it's just like so prevalent, but I remember the first time I saw a fake headshot, Deer Hunter.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Way back when.
I'm watching the show. I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh wow.
You know, so it's just is it prevalent? It's just you know, really? I mean, the guy at the opening,
kudos
with the splatter,
to the makeup.
And you just go, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, that was a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then not so for you, Tamara, huh? Got
I
you?
Close my eyes for all of them.
Well,
I watched
the
two frames after.
That's how I was watching Deer Hunters.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Lee Paxton?
Yeah, let's get into the whole Boyd part of this.
Yeah, so we open this episode with Mooney calling
Paxton, middle of the night.
And I'm proud to say, called it last week.
Matt called it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Bunch of bodies, Bing! Criminals, discovered in one of Lee's funeral homes.
Look at you!
And Mooney immediately knows what's up, that Boyd is still alive, that he's been framed.
Paxton knows what's up.
Yeah, Paxton knows what's up. Oh, sorry. Yeah. And, wakes up, turns on the light, and, Boyd sitting right there the whole time. Silent.
And that was even better when that was a great reveal. But then when Paxton goes for his gun, and he goes,
you're looking for this.
It's like, oh boy, oh
beautiful
boy. And great. I mean, what a wonderful speech that Raylan. I'm sorry, Walter
Boyd. Yes.
Boyd. Yeah.
Oh, right. See, he was just channeling everything that Paxton took away from him.
Your debasement and venality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your name. They will spit venom
as they speak your name.
He was on the hill in the house that he and Ava were going to own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paxton took that away. He relished the moment of being able to leave that image before he took Paxton.
He took it, and he took his legacy away from him.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
It was all of his fears. Because those were all the fears that Boyd was, this isn't going to be our life.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be our life. And he put him right back in the middle of it. I thought it was a great way to have Boyd send him off. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel sorry for the guy.
It was very Godfather-esque, this particular episode, because the way he got Hayes to help him out. At the diner with Mooney, so he's,
I was thinking that earlier.
Tying up all those loose ends.
Orchestrating.
Mara. Absolutely, it was great.
Boyd sitting in the chair, just suddenly in the room,
kind
of like the head in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the guy coming in to whack like, Michael Corleone. And, all of those moments are so great.
And
Godfather,
kids.
You might want to check it out.
The scene on the bridge with Hayes.
Yes.
I mean, that was in the beginning, somewhat cryptic and everything. You start to realize, what the heck's going on? Something is really up here.
And Mara's left with nothing. No cash, nada. But she's free.
But she's free,
Yeah, which is worth a lot to her,
Mm-hmm. The question is, how much is it worth to her, and is she going to continue messing with Mr. Crowder?
No, she won't be.
Okay.
Again, according to Graham Yost, they she's on another show, and they were only given so many episodes with her, and they hit their max.
Unfortunately, on the other show, she is always covered in blood splatter because it just got into
she's working
her pores.
Two jobs.
She had two episodes in this show, and it's forgiven.
I am fine with that. Let her go. We got way too much going on.
There is a lot going on.
We got Ava inside the prison, and as soon as they have this lovely moment where it's like, you're going to get out tomorrow.
Everything's going to be fine,
oh,
honey.
My God.
I'm tomorrow.
Like,
I got one day
see
to retirement.
Tomorrow.
I'm like,
exactly.
Ava's dead. She's going to be amazing.
Oh, I see. I was thinking she was going to get kidnapped or something. Like, they were going to hold her hostage.
Nope.
No.
Danny Strong returns, plants a shank.
Yeah.
and
as Albert.
Mm-hmm. Wait, just back just a little bit. The Ava's speech of "I want to sleep in your arms."
Yeah,
I want to wake up in your arms.
Well, but you know, because the last few weeks they've been so she and Boyd have been so against each other, yeah. And you know, and it was very quick. It's amazing what. Yeah.
When she,
you know, oh, and his ear is healed, too,
yeah.
By the way. Did
yeah.
you notice?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Bandage is gone.
No bandage.
And his ear is just whole again.
Yeah.
And that whole speech just had me thinking, I'm like, what does, like Boyd as he sleeps, like, sweetly,
yeah,
what does that look like?
Yeah,
that
and
is
how,
such an alien concept.
What does his hair look like when he wakes up in the morning?
Yeah.
It's probably flat.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah. His hair is probably perfectly coiffed. In the morning.
What,
I just say,
just
though,
look like that?
So, you know, the whole Shank business, and now she's, and I'm just going, oh, man, she's going to be in prison again.
Again.
For longer, please.
But now she's upstate, right?
Yeah.
She's not even.
Yeah. And not under. But here's the thing. She was under protection.
Right.
Which, and we still.
Yes.
We're speculating, of course, that we think it's Boyd that was.
Yeah.
All those other of us, I think we had postulated that it would have been Johnny that might have been.
Protecting her
mm-hmm. in
right.
some fashion. But will she have any protection upstate?
Right.
No.
Well, that is, again, an odd thing because they specifically made sure that Albert knows she's protected, and yet Albert comes back
yeah.
and frames her.
He doesn't. Right. He doesn't care. He stabs himself twice.
Yeah.
That's how
they're
much it
showing
matters
that
to him.
He's crazy, or they're showing that, you know, somebody has. Of somebody's playing here.
Yeah. Did he do it just to her, or is Albert doing it under the behest of somebody else?
Exactly.
Right.
So if he is, I'm thinking Johnny. Who else has showed up and said,
"Why would Johnny want him to do that?
To keep her from Boyd?"
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think
that's kind of extreme
to Johnny.
But it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me that Albert. I don't understand
why would Albert do it? Who's
yeah.
to get her out of his hair and to get her in worse shape?
So you think he's doing
shape.
It at his own?
Yes,
not anybody.
And then
him.
He's not beholden to the woman who's protecting Ava, the
yeah.
woman guard who's protecting Ava, because Ava's not there anymore. She's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, and also this is somebody who he rapes women in a prison.
Exactly.
He's used to. You know, playing out this fantasy of having power because he grew up, you know, kind of a shorter guy, laughed at, not a ton of power.
Right.
So to have to look her in the face every day or to know that she's out and about having a good life, that would not be justice for him.
Right.
Well, it does change because previously Boyd was doing what he could to get her out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was always that dynamic of, I don't think you're doing enough. I'm doing all I can.
Right.
And there was that tension and everything.
Right.
Well, now she knows there's nothing he can do.
What?
Now it's completely removed from that dynamic. So it was kind of surprising to me that you're going to remove her even further from this character turmoil you had.
I don't know about that so much, but the thing that was – because you guys are thinking that he's doing it of his own accord. And I'm going, he knows that she's protected. And it's not like Ava's not going to tell whoever's protecting her
yes.
what happened.
Right.
So he's
right.
a dead man.
Right.
Unless he's doing it for someone
that's
else.
What I'm saying. Unless he's protecting. So that's why I have a hard time believing he's doing it of his own. On his own. Just because I think if
who's
he knows
he's going to believe that he stabbed himself twice to
because
get.
Because Ava is going to tell whomever is, you know. I mean,
unless as you guys think.
But she's a con.
Yeah, no, unless.
No, she's going to tell the person
John,
who's protecting her.
John, you just said on this show that you thought that Johnny was protecting her unbeknownst to her. So how would she get that message?
Okay, here's my
how
point.
How is she going to get that message
Because my point is, regardless, she may not know who it is, but she's going to tell Boyd that what happened, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, what I'm saying is, all Albert knows is somebody's protecting her. Who's he going to think it is? Of course he's going to think it's Boyd. He knows who her boyfriend is.
Right?
So, obviously, she's going to tell Boyd what really happened. Even if Boyd isn't protecting her, he knows Boyd. He knows he's probably a dead man, doesn't he? I mean, I'm just going, unless he's protected in some fashion, why would he go after Ava? I mean, I don't know.
Because he's nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that option.
Which is why I was trying to figure out how are they going to keep, you know, that's exactly the right point. And
but then again, I'm going to ruin my own point. The fact that he wanted to rape her last week, knowing who her boyfriend is, I mean, that doesn't.
Without knowing she was protected.
Yeah, but still, I mean, unless he, you know, but who knows? Maybe if he's crazy enough to do that, I guess he's crazy enough to, you know, do it on his own.
Yep.
But I still think it would be more interesting if something's behind that.
Okay, now we have to talk fast.
No, we got. Well, what else we have? What else?
We basically
say last
we checked in with Dewey.
Yeah, and I was like, okay.
Dark Knight of the Soul, I'm not happy. Right. I can't do this
He's
anymore.
Giving away all his possessions.
Lamenting. He tried to give away his tattoo, wouldn't pull off.
Yeah. Lamenting with the two girls.
Boob shot, which was surprising.
We can't get boobs and stuff.
And no butt shots either. So. Yeah. We had a lot of killings. You can't have boobs and killing at the same time.
Side boob.
Side boob?
They've done side boob.
Oh, wait. Did we talk at all about Daryl and Boyd in the bar?
Oh, no, we haven't gotten there. So
God.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, great opportunity. Boyd coming in incognito. Daryl sitting there being the jackass that he is. Yeah. My place is awesome. It's down the street. Not like this crap hole.
I was thinking about this, like, really, Daryl? You didn't ask anybody what Boyd looks like? Oh, he's the crazy hair guy.
No, the whole time I thought that he was doing a double bluff and I absolutely knew who Boyd was.
But no.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but it was a great little showdown. You got 60 seconds and he takes his time swigging his beer.
That look that Boyd throws to Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, the nuts on this guy.
Yeah.
Like, wow, really?
Again, and it goes back to
big
how
balls
they,
bold.
They, it goes back to
Johnny.
How they show power.
Yeah.
And that's how Daryl shows his power. He's just like,
yeah,
in a minute.
And Johnny we don't see him kill Hot Rod, but he basically takes over his outfit after Boyd tried to make a deal with Hot Rod. Yeah, we're running out of time, but there's all this extra plots.
I know. And do you think Johnny had him killed, or do you think Johnny just ran him out?
I think
Hot Rod?
Hot Rod.
I think you don't leave Hot Rod alive.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's one you put in the ground, because he's going to put you in the ground if you don't.
Well, yeah,
those scenes I always like going back and watching twice.
Yeah.
Now that you know what the payoff is to see, okay, you know, where are you kind of teasing me? Where are you kind of tricking me?
Yeah, and I'm
me?
Going, yeah, okay, so what did he tell the guys? Okay, when Hot Rod tells me.
Yeah, that, exactly.
Well, you guys
that's
all
when
point
you stand
your gun
up.
At me.
Yeah.
Right.
And then.
That's kind of what I was saying.
Same.
Was like,
I mean, it's fun. Same. It's a great scene. It's fun. Yeah. But it's like, what, you choreographed that?
That is the thing. If you go back and go, okay, what was the pre-conversation?
How'd that setup go?
Can I just say, really impressed with Johnny's Johnny's agenda here.
Very nice.
You know, that's a move that's a lot smarter. I ever assumed that he
would. I want him to survive up to the end.
Tammy, do we have any quick news?
We do have a little bit of news. Yeah, okay, sure. Alan Tudyk, who played Elias Marcos, who died, we talked about his credit being Ray Narrowly. This is what Graham Yost says. It's something he's doing, sort of a documentary, something about the life of an actor and a character or something. I didn't spend time with him, so I don't exactly know what it is. The only other thing, I searched around a little. The only other thing I could find is Ray Narrowly does have a Twitter account. He has 10 followers. Uh-huh. And 4 tweets, and there are these weird innocuous tweets like, I love dogs so much, but I feel like if they were human, they would watch Fox News.
Okay.
That's so funny.
Is this like a Joaquin Phoenix kind of thing?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
No, that's Simon and Garfunkel. Okay.
That's true.
Music Man. Timothy Oliphant.
Yes.
Josh Duhamel often gets mistaken for Timothy Oliphant.
True. Yeah, they look alike.
He says, I also get Ryan Seacrest, and he says, I'm most proud of the Seacrest comparison. Some great comments on our YouTube channel, so many naked butts this season. And we talked about enjoying the celebration scene with Art. The audience is always conditioned, as we were. Graham Yost laughed, and he says, we always joke that a character is going to say, yeah, right after we do this big dangerous thing, I'm going to go pick up my son at T-ball.
Yeah.
And we all know how that goes. He said, we did want to give Art that moment. So he didn't confirm or deny what's going on with Art, but it didn't sound like he usually gives a little bit of
time for predictions. So what we're going to do is just the only thing we want to talk about next week, we're going to have Erica here.
Erica Taisel's going to be with us.
I predict Erica's going to be
here. Yeah, that's our only prediction.
Erica Taisel plays Rachel, going to be in the studio with us to talk about next
week. Very excited about that.
It's supposed to be a big episode for her, or at least bigger than usual.
It's the one she dies in.
No!
I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry.
All right, so next week we'll have Erica in studio. So we're looking
forward to it.
And it's going to be fun. It's going to be really good.
Erica,
Matt, let them know where they can find you.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. Matty Lieberman on Instagram if you're feeling nasty. Also, here on AfterBuzz TV, all over the place, throw a dart and you'll probably hit me. Almost Human, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Lost Girl, and Helix on Sci-Fi, and Banshee on Cinemax. Just wrapped Sherlock on PBS. Check that out. out if you haven't gotten a chance. More shows coming all the time. And if you love live comedy and you're in the LA area, you can come see me at the IO West Comedy Theater March 9th at 9 p.m. as a member of DJ Fawcett doing some great sketch comedy. You will laugh a whole bunch.
Tamara.
You can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg, T-A-M-A-R-A-B-E-R-G. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. And John and I do Downton Abbey, which we did with the UK airing, but it's now airing in the US, so they're replaying those. So look out for that on Downton Abbey on AfterBuzz.
Bottomly, Steven.
There you go.
All right.
You can find me right here next week with Erica.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
See you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.